It is good to have you guys. Go ahead and open up your Bibles to Luke. And we're going to be back in Luke again in chapter 2 as we continue our series, The Good News. Now, I want to ask you the question, and you guys, you don't have to obviously go to other people and talk about this, but just be thinking about it. You can share it if you want next to each other. But what's some news that you have gotten in your life that is probably the greatest news that you've ever gotten? Just think about that. Is there something in your life, some news that you had gotten that was really transforming, like amazing, and you wanted to go out and you wanted to share with the world, right? That this news that you got. Do you have some? Raise your hand if you have news that you've gotten news like that before. Yeah, you had twins. There you go. Yeah, that's makes me want to cry. That's good. Anyway, yeah. So what about this? Have you ever gotten news that you think, oh gosh, that probably shouldn't have been shared? Have you ever had that kind of news? And then you're like, ooh, I hope nobody else finds out about that. Yeah, that's happening. Some of you are like, well, that happens more often probably. That's good. So we're going to talk about this good news, but we're going to move into this verse a little bit more. Luke chapter 2, verse 10. You know, we've talked about fear when Jesus came, that no longer do we have to live in fear. And then we talked about joy, right? That we have this joy because Jesus came. We can have joy that never leaves, and that's found in Him. But now we're talking about good news, this good news that brings this joy and allows us to live this fearless life. And this news is so great that it's for all people. And so let's look at Luke chapter 2. We're going to read again verses 10 through 15, I should say. So by the end of this, we should have this memorized. And so next week, everybody's going to recite it by memory, one at a time. No, I'm kidding. All right, so let's start in verse 10. If you're able, let's stand as we read Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 10. Here's what it says. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased." And when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. Father, thank you for your word. Our prayer is that you would just speak to us through your word. Holy Spirit, have your way this morning. May you just transform us in a powerful way. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. For y'all that may be just joining and online, if you haven't been a part of the series, just walking through the story of the shepherds when the angel proclaimed the good news of great joy and the birth, proclaiming the birth of Jesus. And so we've walked through fear, we've walked through this joy, and now we get to this next part where it says, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. This morning, I just want to talk a little bit about this good news and how this good news is for all. And so as we talk about that, I want you just to be thinking about maybe people in your life that need to hear the good news. The good news of the birth of Jesus, the death on the cross of Jesus, and also the resurrection of Jesus. This good news that we know of and that we celebrate, especially at Christmas time. And so as we think about this good news for all, I'm overwhelmed by how powerful that statement is, that this good news is for all. And so I want to just, it's a very easy kind of lineup this morning of notes. It's not going to be very hard, but I just want to talk through this idea of all people. Why is this important, and why do the angels say this? Why is it said this is great joy for all people? And so if you have your notes, and if you have it on the Bible app, you can use that. If you just have a piece of paper, you can write this down. But I want to talk through this. What does it mean, this good news for all? And one is this, that all people need Jesus. Why is this verse so powerful and so important? And why is it important enough to say they had good news of great joy that will be for all the people? Well, what that means is this. All people need Jesus. Now, and I know you have the same news programs that I have on TV. You've been kind of keeping up with what's going on in the latest COVID-19 dilemmas and dramas that we have. And you guys know as well as I do that the new vaccine has rolled out. It got emergency approval and it's starting to roll out. And you, as well as I, probably have gotten the same questions. Are you going to get the vaccine? How many of y'all have had that question asked? How many of y'all have asked that question? Yeah, so we ask that question, are you going to get the vaccine? And there's no simple answer to that, because some people are like, yes, I'm going all in. Some people are like, no, I'm going to wait and see what other people do. Some people are like, why should I get it if everybody else is going to get it? You know, that kind of thing. Everybody else gets the vaccine, I'm good to go. For me, I'm like, if it means I get to go into a buffet, I'm all for it. I mean, let's go. I mean, if it opens the door for easy eating, it might be just a perfect thing. So nobody really has the answer. It's so funny because people have different opinions of whether they need the vaccine or they don't. Can I just tell you, there's no question here with Jesus. All people need Jesus. Okay, I don't want you to think that some are excluded or some may not need Jesus as much. Maybe it's a socioeconomic thing. There's rich people don't need it, but poor people do. Or maybe it's a location of where you live. Maybe this area does, this area doesn't. Maybe if you're good, you don't need him. If you aren't good, you do need. Listen, there's none of that across the board. It means this. It means if you're rich, if you're poor, if you have a good job, not as good of a job, whatever, wherever you are in life, all people need Jesus. There's not a single person in here, there's not a single person watching online that doesn't need Jesus. In Romans chapter 5, verse 12, this is what it says. It says, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. Listen, that's a very clear statement of where we are as people. Because sin entered the world through one man, through Adam, what we find is this. Death comes with sin. Because sin has entered the world, then we are all, that's our destiny. Listen, we are all destined to die because of sin. But here's what I love about verse 17. It says this. For if because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. So in the same way sin entered the world through one man, listen, righteousness and salvation comes through one man, and his name is Jesus. Listen, all of us need Jesus. Matter of fact, in Romans 3:23, what it says is this. All of us, all people have fallen short of the glory of God. It also tells us this in Scripture in Romans 3:10. It says, there's none that are righteous, no, not one. Listen, there's not a single person perfect enough, good enough to get to heaven. We all need Jesus. And I want you to know this morning that it doesn't matter who you are or where you're from. It doesn't matter who's your neighbor or who's not your neighbor. It doesn't matter what they look like, who they are. Every person needs Jesus. Acts 4:12 says, and there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. So why is this news so good? And why is it good news for all people? Because, listen, all people need Jesus. I'm reminded of John 14, and it says this. Jesus told them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. You know, you may hear people talk about different ways to get to God, different ways to connect in the relationship with God, different ways to get to heaven. And you will hear people talk about that. You will hear famous people talk about many different ways to get to God. But can I tell you, Scripture is clear, and this is the truth. There is only one way, and that's through Jesus. So every person needs Jesus. But here's some good news also. And I love this about the Christmas story. It's not just that all people need Jesus, but here's the truth. Jesus came for all people. So listen, this is a profound dilemma that we have as people, that everyone needs Jesus. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Therefore, there's nothing we can do on our own merit to get to heaven, to have a relationship with God. Therefore, we need Jesus. But the good news is Jesus came for all people. That He came and born in a manger so that He could rescue mankind. Listen to what it says in John 3, 16 and 17. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. And then verse 17, my favorite. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. Jesus came for all people. I want you to be encouraged today that you need Jesus and I need Jesus. We all need Jesus, but praise God that He sent Jesus for you and for me. Jesus came for all people. What does that look like? What is all people? Well, again, if you have your notes, write down some of these things. Listen, or if you just have it printed, what does it mean for Jesus to come for all people? One is He came to find the lost. One thing is this, that we read in Scripture that He came to find the lost. Luke 19:10 says, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. So who are the lost? Well, the lost are those that are not part of God's family. Those that are living on their... How many of you guys have ever been lost? I say guys, but guys are females too. But guys really like, yeah, all the time. I just don't let anybody know. But yeah. Yeah, we've all been lost, right? A lot of us have been lost. I mean, there's nothing scarier than being in a store as a kid and looking up and your parents are gone. You know what I mean? And you've lost your parents. That's scary stuff, you know? I still get like that when Amy walks away. I'm like, oh no, what am I going to do? I can't live life. Listen, it's scary being lost. It is. We've all experienced that because you just don't know where you're going. What happens is it comes back on your own. So now you're trying to find your way on your own. You're trying to find the direction you're supposed to go just on your own experience. And that's pretty limited. Listen, being lost is hard. So Jesus came to find the lost. If we look in Scripture, it talks about the lost. But listen, it says this in Isaiah 53:6. It says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. So if I could define lost, it would be that right there. Who have turned everyone to his own way. Listen, when we turn to our own way, we are lost. We are lost. And it says, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Listen, the truth is that Jesus came to save and rescue the lost. Listen, we have been there. And maybe you're there today. If you're living on your own, if you're apart from this connection with God and relationship with Jesus, then you are lost. You know, sometimes the hardest thing to do is to admit that you're lost. Like, in general, it's hard when I'm driving to admit, hey, Amy, I'm lost. I don't do that. You know, I just keep driving until I find a restaurant. Anyway, that's hard to do. But, you know, as a believer, that is one of the biggest things we have to do. We have to recognize that we're lost, in need of someone to rescue us and to find us. And so, listen, Jesus came to find and rescue the lost. But here's another thing. He came to fill the lifeless. Jesus came to all to fill the lifeless. What does that mean? Well, John 10:10 says, a thief comes only to steal and kill and to destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. We've heard that verse over and over and over again, right? I've come that they may have life and have it abundantly. Not just new life. We don't celebrate Christmas because Jesus our Savior is born. He does give us new life, but even more than that, He gives us abundant life. What does that mean? Well, it does not mean that you're going to get everything you want. It doesn't mean that you're going to have all the nicest cars and the nicest stuff. But what that means is that you're going to have an abundance of joy and peace. That spiritually speaking, you're going to have an abundance of life. You're going to overflow. You can overflow with Jesus in your life. I always hold on to this trustworthy saying that says, I don't know how much Jesus you have, but I know you have as much of Jesus as you want. Listen, what that means is this, is that the more that we give our life to Jesus and hold on to Him and lean in on Him, the abundant life that we experience in Him is overflowing in joy and peace and hope. What I love about abundant life and how He fills us is that it's for now. Like, we can experience this life now. We don't have to wait, but Jesus fills our life today. He came to fill your life. But it's also eternal. He's also giving you life abundantly, eternally. Forever you will spend eternity with Him. Listen, that's full, that's rich, and that's what Jesus came to do. He came to fill the lifeless. I'm pretty sure that if we were to look across our country, what we would find would be a lot of churches around our country and our world that are filled with unbelievers. And the reason we know that is because there's no life in them. You know, if you know Jesus, there's life. And there's life abundantly. There's joy that never ends. There's peace that comes in difficult and hard times. Listen, we should look at every church and it be alive because Jesus is alive. And so He has come to fill the lifeless. And can I encourage you today that maybe you're feeling a little lifeless today? Let Jesus fill you up. I just was talking to Wayne a while ago, and I said, Wayne, man, that is the biggest cup of coffee I've ever seen in my life. And it's awesome. I was thinking, I need that right now. That'd be great. And I was thinking about Jesus. Can you imagine allowing Jesus to fill you up in the same way the coffee does? You know, that think of what joy and peace that would be in our life if we allow Him to fill us overflowing. Listen, that's what Jesus came to do, to fill the lifeless. But also, and this probably hits home more than anything else for me, and maybe for you too, but Jesus came to all to fix the broken. Jesus came to fix the broken. Now, I don't know about you, but you might be able to see in your own life, but I don't know if you've seen it in others, but we've all experienced broken in our life, brokenness. And I will say not all brokenness is bad. Brokenness leads us to really a relationship with Jesus. When we're broken is when He comes and fixes. Listen, that's a great place to start. But He's come to fix the broken. And what does that mean? Well, we all struggle and we all have things in our life that hurts, that needs to be mended, and mostly just from sin in our life. And we read Scripture and when it says this in Psalm 147:3, He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted and to bind up their wounds, to restore people. You know, when we ask Jesus Christ into our life, listen, it doesn't mean that our life gets easier, but what Jesus does do is He restores our soul. He makes us whole again. You know, we talk about that word peace, and it can mean complete or whole. That's what peace literally means. And so when we get peace from God, what He's doing is He's making us whole. And so when we talk about fixing the brokenhearted, we talk about Him coming and making. So Isaiah 9:6, one of my favorite verses to read at Christmas time especially, but it says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulder, and His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Listen, you take just those four names of Jesus. Think what that means to you and to me, to all people that are living life broken today. Think about this idea of a wonderful counselor in our life that is giving us what we need in direction and wisdom. The mighty God who can do all things. Everlasting Father giving us the love and joy that maybe many miss in an earthly way. And Prince of Peace that is making us whole and fixing the brokenness in our life. Listen, Jesus came to fix the broken. Isaiah 53:5 says this, "But He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon Him, and by His wounds we are healed. You know, we, through Jesus, are healed spiritually. We recognize that when we rejoice and celebrate Christmas, we recognize that Jesus came to us to heal us spiritually. But listen, He can heal physically. He can. He can heal emotionally. He can do all things, but we trust in His goodness. And so I just want to encourage you today, and I think it's worth holding on to this Christmas time, is the fact that this Jesus that we rejoice and celebrate at Christmas time and gather around the Christmas tree and think about and sing about, listen, this Jesus came because there is a great need, and Jesus met the need. He came for you and for me. I read this quote, and I think it's just a powerful quote. It says, "He did not come just to make salvation possible for everyone, but rather to make salvation actual." I love that. God loves us, and He has such deep concern for His creation that He sent Jesus, because all people need Jesus. He sent Jesus because Jesus was the answer, and today He still is. So I want to encourage you today that He came for all people, for you and for me. And let's rejoice in that. Let's hold on to that. And let's share that good news. This fearless life and this great joy that we can live is not just to be left here in a church building, but it's to be shared with all people, because Jesus came for all people. One of the things that I think is important that we always remember is that Jesus is not just about a manger. And many times as we celebrate Christmas, we kind of leave Him in the manger for the rest of the year. And that's really just, that's just the beginning of the story. Really, Jesus came so that He could die. And we recognize anytime we celebrate Christmas and the birth of Jesus, we have to celebrate and remember the death of Jesus. You can't have one without the other. Both are essential. And both are who He is. And so I think it's important every year that we come to this time, that we take at least one moment on a Sunday, and that we really celebrate not just His birth, but also His death, as we remember how powerful that act was.